I forked it, and now it grew to like, I don't know, 100,000 users, probably a lot more because most people just use the upstream object cache drop-in, not the full plugin. I know that Cloud Linux is using it now, SpinUpWP, Bluehost, a lot of big hosts are using it.
I'm here with Till
Pruis.
And we're going to be talking about Object Cache Pro, which Till launched at the end of 2019. It's a business class Redis object cache backend for WordPress that's used by GoDaddy, Pagely, Nexus, Cloudways, and Convessio. The free open source version, Redis Object Cache, is available at wordpress.org on the plugin repo. It makes WordPress much, much faster. Till's also building Relay, a Redis client that's two orders of magnitude faster, and there are Laravel, WordPress, and Magento integrations for it. Till's a company of one and has a really unique view on how he wants to do business in the WordPress space. We'll spend some time talking about that, how Till got into WordPress in the first place as a very self-taught developer. And we'll talk about performance and testing in the WordPress plugin ecosystem, why there needs to be more of it, and why this matters to WordPress's growth and competitiveness. Before we get into that, let me tell you about one of our great sponsors, Pressable.
Founded in 2010, Pressable is a world-class managed WordPress hosting provider built on the same data network as WordPress.com and WordPress VIP. Their state-of-the-art platform empowers agencies, freelancers, e-commerce businesses, IT professionals, and WordPress developers to build, launch, and maintain amazing WordPress websites quickly, easily, and affordably. With industry-leading performance, 24/7 expert support, 100% uptime guarantee, and seamless integrations with WooCommerce and Jetpack, Pressable provides the tools you need to manage your WordPress websites and grow your business all in one place. They've also got a really cool demo system now. It's called My Pressable Playground, and you can create sites back in there, edit the settings for each, look at the security tools, performance, other site management tools, and check out the Pressable API for more advanced users. There's a robust REST API that you can develop applications on. It's all pretty open there and get a full view of everything. Just click the big Try Us Free button and give Pressable a try.
So your main vocation these days is, am I right, that what you're spending most of your time on is Object Cache Pro?
Yeah, it's a 50-50 split more or less between Object Cache Pro and Relay, right, which hasn't really, you know,
and
been too public yet.
Relay, that's how much is that coming back into WordPress? That's a kind of larger PHP project.
Yeah, without, you know, diving off the deep end here, essentially, I spoke with a bunch of people. The result was Object Cache Pro. And once I released this, you know, enterprise-grade object caching solution, hosting companies came to me and be like, hey, we want even more performance. And then the last 2 years, me and Michael, well, mostly him, but the last 2 years we spent building Relay because it's a nice addition. And to answer your question about back to WordPress, it's like, yes. However, we're expanding into the extension works with Laravel, Magento, with all PHP frameworks, CMSs. It's not only restricted to WordPress, but I assume this is going to be the dominant market the first couple of years. Object caching is a very WordPress-specific term. You see it here and there in other frameworks, but often it's just called caching. They just say, hey, we just throw something into the cache, and then they differentiate between page caching and all the other things. In WordPress, it's a specific term called object caching, but really it's a WordPress specific thing.
So how would you define object caching? I have kind of a metaphor simplification for it in my mind, but what's a semi-technical, deeper technical understanding of what we're doing with object caching in WordPress?
How to define it? There's some really good articles written out there. I think someone just posted something a few days ago. I don't know if I can pull this up right now. Felipe Ayala.
Yes.
He just posted something. We should put this in the show notes. He has nice illustrations and he explains it. Essentially, object caching is you know, database, MySQL, MariaDB, all the SQL queries, they're typically quite slow at scale. The more load you put on it, if you have 1,000 people asking questions at the same time, it can be a bit much. So what WordPress does is, let's say you want to fetch the most recent comments and it gives you 20 comments. Instead of always asking your database server for it, you throw it into the object cache, I'm doing air quotes here, which can be backed by many different servers or architectures. In my case, with Object Cache Pro, it's Redis, because I think it's a really neat piece of software. And instead of the next couple of visitors, they don't have to ask the database. You don't have to wait. Your time to first byte doesn't increase. You can just throw it into Redis and retrieve it really, really quickly. And Redis doesn't really break a sweat. If you have 1,000 people asking questions, it's fine. Maybe at 100,000, a million, then it starts to consume some resources. But it's just a really, really fast key value store. And ultimately, object caching helps you reduce the load on your database, which in most cases, I want to say, unless you have these, 250 plugin WordPress installs,
yeah,
big chunk of your response time is always taken up by talking to the database.
Right. I haven't seen a lot of 250 plugin WordPress installs. You run into those very often?
I'm not directly, but working with the guys at Pagely and some other hosting companies, I see really horrendous WordPress setups that it feels abusive what they're doing. It's cruel what they're doing with the service.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of, we've probably touched a few of those here and there, everyone's experience. Just keep adding to it. Mm-hmm. But the thing with object cache that's really valuable is it doesn't matter whether those queries come from the back end or whether you're in the admin or not. And that's traditionally been, people are working, doing a lot of writing inside their content management. And then if you have multiple users back there, there's really nothing that traditional cache would offer you. I remember there was this old plugin I used for a long time, Mark Jaquith had written, that did try to do some smart things to cache some of the back end when you had multiple users going. But if you're caching, well, it's not, is it caching queries?
It's unclear. It's not a query cache. Query caching would be select user one from, WP underscore users. That would be specifically caching this result. And some MySQL, MariaDB servers actually do this internally. If the same query happens, then they just send a cache response. It's more that WordPress says, hey, I want to look up this one user. And then WordPress function itself check, do I already have this in cache? Instead of caching the query, it just caches the object, hence object caching. But to speak to what you said earlier there, just there, yes, the advantage of object caching, I'm so involved in it, so I forget how to properly explain it, maybe in the explain to me like I'm five. The big advantage is it's easy to install a plugin like WP Rocket or I don't know what the go-to standard is nowadays to get some browser caching going. So if you have anonymous traffic, if you have the Google crawler going to your website, that you serve these static pre-generated HTML files, so you don't have to even talk to anything. The web server just has to read a file and send it back, which is really, really fast, like milliseconds. However, the moment you're logged in, if you have a community like BuddyBoss, or if you something in your shopping cart with WooCommerce, you're not an anonymous visitor anymore. And then every request, when you want to browse to the next category in WooCommerce, for example, you always have to talk to MySQL. And now if you do a flash sale with 1,000 people at the same time on your site, you always will hit the object cache. And it's just nice that it's, whether you're in the back end, whether you're logged in user in the front end with a shopping cart, or just commented, object caching will reduce the response times or the page load times for all of these requests, not only anonymous traffic. It's really good to have both, to have a page cache and an object cache, because, you know, a fast backend, maybe even the page generation itself, when you run your, hey, warm up my page cache, would be faster because it doesn't have to hammer your MySQL server. But yeah, that's the essence. It caches all requests or all, it caches, that's not true. It caches many parts that affect all requests.
Right. Yeah, I noticed a big difference when we started using it with Pagely, and I think in some other contexts I have. Yeah, because that's traditionally been the big problem with WordPress. If you're trying to use it as a community site, or you've got a forum or sort of a social site, and a lot of people are logged in, so there's very little that that page caching would do anything for. So in my recollection, that was the major problem hosts had. There were more and more WordPress sites and others of its generation that were all PHP, MySQL. And so you would have someone just getting hammered with a lot of concurrent visitors. Maybe the page doesn't has like 50, 100 queries. It's reasonable, but there's like 300 people doing that all at once. Or you have someone who has like the 250 plugins, and it's like hundreds of queries to load the yeah. front page. And I took a close look at that at one point with another guy in the WordPress community. And, you would see like one, even if it was one out of 100 queries that just went, it just never came back. And you wouldn't get a full page load. Is that still a scaling issue that every host has to deal with? Or is that becoming a thing of the past with stuff like object caching?
Having an object cache in WordPress helps because it's not really designed to run a community, to run these highly dynamic sites. We're making do, and we're making it work. I think the Buddy Boss guys talked to me recently, and they said that just to load the feed of any given user, like you logged in and you load the feed, it's 300 MySQL queries or SQL queries. Most people, I think, use MariaDB. I can't speak too much about what the challenges of hosting companies are. I do see here and there the stories, and scaling the database server seems often an issue. I don't know what it's like in shared hosting. This is not my expertise. But yeah, it's a hard challenge to scale WordPress. And it's my business now. It's hard to scale. And we have better tools, we have more powerful servers. It's working, but it's definitely pushing the edge of what it's meant to be doing initially.
And is that how you got into this? Just because, well, you had quite a history with WordPress and Laravel. Does the nature of working with WordPress for long lend itself to, man, I got to deal with some performance issues? But what was your way into that becoming a main focus?
Yeah, I was working as a freelancer, and I was working on this really large Tantra community. As a women-run company, which was kind of funny. It's like, I think when I left, there was 50 women and me, and it was a fantastic work environment, I gotta say. And it was like online learning, online courses. We didn't really have any tools when we started, I think, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. There was no good tools out there. And at some point we started using Access Ally to connect with Entreport, and it was just always a performance nightmare. And I wanted to use an object cache. I ran into the same problem that now people run into and come to me essentially, or to other people like Pantheon. And they've got a Redis caching plugin as well. That's the data was just under so much load, page load times were slow, and each page had, you know, 300-400 comments. And just to load them, it was just not feasible to always ask the SQL server. And saw what's out there, and it was kind of a bit dire, the situation. So I forked I do not remember who it was. There was a popular Redis plugin, but Eric Mann, I think way back in the day, released something where it was just unmaintained. I forked it, and now it grew to like, I don't know, 100,000 users, probably a lot more because most people just use the upstream object cache drop-in, not the full plugin. I know that Cloud Linux is using it now, SpinupWP, Bluehost, a lot of big hosts are using it. So the 100,000 users might be a bit misleading. And I just scratched my own itch. I needed a good Redis plugin and it just kept on growing. That's how I kind of, you know, got into this and got started with it. I needed faster page load times.
Yeah, I think that's a not that uncommon of a story, but what's unique is to build a product as successful as Object Cache Pro, I imagine. How many hosting partners are you working with now with that? Because there's the free plugin, but then there's the top shelf high-end mm-hmm. premium version that's mostly going to be of use to a hosting market.
And individual, like the small medium businesses that, you know, if you run an e-commerce site, and we have many customers like that, mm-hmm. they have e-commerce sites, they make $50,000 a month in revenue, and right. they run their own either infrastructure, have a tiny engineering team, you know, 2-3 guys run their own infrastructure. Because often when you have these large scale sites, it's tricky to find a hosting company that will serve that. Right. And I recommend Pagely personally, because they seem to be able to just scale out. What was the question again? I'm
blanking. Yeah, whether that was
hosting partners. Yeah.
Yeah. If so, there are larger. So the client market for Object Cache Pro is not just hosts, but businesses that are large enough where their monthly revenue, they can quantify exactly what performance is costing them. Yes. So if you are shaving off $10,000 worth of bandwidth, you know, you can be that precise about it, that's this is a measurable quantity, and your value is it sells itself, I suppose, right? Is that kind of how you approach?
Yeah, and because I believe in open source, there's always the free version that gives you a lot of benefits already. There's been these studies from Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, Google, where every tenth of a second, 100 milliseconds, page load delays cost you, I think, 1% conversion rate. Companies right. who worry about those numbers, they should be using Object Cache Pro.
Yeah.
Or if you just want the best of the best.
Yeah, there's that side of it too. It's probably fairly quantifiable what you're losing in customers, and just you're paying for a less efficient. You're paying to lose customers if you can't serve pages efficiently at scale. So, all right. Do you want to talk more about your background and history, or would you like to, you know, I imagine there's some things farther back that maybe suggest some things about you and why you shaped your business this way, because we've talked about that before. And, you know, this isn't something you want to grow into a massive company where you become a manager of a support desk or you know, that's under you. You've got people, you've got engineers and support people. This is something you wanted to remain hands-on and in a particular way. So are there things in your experience and, you know, the rest of life that made you aware of that? About yourself, because, you know, the standard stereotypical model is let's make this thing as big as we can. Like, yeah.
Capitalism. I'm neuroatypical, and I, whatever I touched in life, I wanted to do, figure it out myself. I mean, I really enjoy learning from other people, and I constantly ask other people about things and advice. But just seeing the standard model of you start a business, you get some funding, then you rent an offer, and I can't be asked to do that. I want to do things my way that works for me, meaning working from home in my underwear, kind of. That's the picture you can visualize there. It works for me to be quiet by myself, to have focus time. If I want to take 3 days off, I will, and not be forced into this 9-to-5 productivity model, because it doesn't serve my, I don't want to say best interest. I've never really articulated this. It doesn't work for me. I work long, hard hours, sometimes months in a row, and sometimes I just take time off and all I want to do is mow the lawn and go for a walk. That flexibility, I think, really allowed me to maybe make the best product I could possibly make. And I just wanted to do things my way, even with the pricing model. Of course, looking at all the other WordPress plugins, this pricing model, I think, hasn't changed in the last 10 years, 5 years. I don't know what the first paid plugin was, except for, was it Kareem with Crowd Favorite? He had this one plugin that was like, I don't know, $500 a month or like some crazy amount, where you could migrate between sites. With this one outlier, everybody does the same pricing, where it's, you know, a couple of dollars a month, maybe less than 100 a year, and you get your unlimited license. To me, it didn't work. I wanted to keep it small. I wanted to have 100 customers that pay me $100 a month, and that would be my full-time work, and support 100 companies individually. That was the initial intention. Support 100 companies because I can. That wouldn't be too far out of my capabilities, and it wouldn't completely drown me in work. And so that's how I really priced OCP. This is what I wanted. And what I'm seeing now is that I can serve the WordPress industry much more by working with hosting companies. And I'm talking with a lot more than listed on my website officially, who already, you know, signed up. There's a few bigger announcements coming now with WordCamp US that I don't think I can talk about, or would be, it's not my place to share these things. But yeah, I wanted to do things my way. It was really important to me, and I'm really glad I did, because I'm also seeing that I don't think I'm a good employer. Unlike people, what's his face? Joshua Strubel.
Yeah,
I think he's a really, he seems, well, maybe you can leave some notes here if anybody's working for him. He seems like a really good boss, and I'd like to be like him, but I'm not, or at least not at this point. And maybe I'll get there, and I want to grow and scale. What I would like is, I would like someone to come in, be the CTO, a CEO, take over the company. I'm down with whether this is raising money or getting, and that, you know, with all the acquisitions, I think it makes sense for a established skilled team to come in and grow this. But as long as I'm not on my own, but have a very small team, which I have right now, I don't want to just grow and grow and grow. That's not my, I want to create a good product. I want to have happy customers and not have depression because I'm burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah. Do you think that to me doesn't, man, I resonate with that a lot. I feel that a lot. I feel like there's a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but proportionally, but that there's a culture in WordPress among developers and others that is kind of the small is beautiful approach. And have you found others kind of supporting, validating that, or other people who you think have done that?
Except that all the small is beautiful gets bought up.
at some point.
But then because we have these, what do you call them, conglomerates now, like with the Cloudways acquisition today by DigitalOcean, they are these giant, I don't know, visually speaking, skyscrapers. You know, there's a bunch of them, but there's so many cracks in the pavement in between that where small is beautiful can grow, and you have like beautiful little happy, healthy flowers. I don't know where the analogy is going. There's space to grow. There's always issues in between where you have small companies that can solve a problem, that there's so many that exist in WordPress, and create a really good solution, and then they will grow, and maybe they'll be bought up and integrated in the big skyscrapers. Maybe not. It doesn't really matter. There's always space for small, whether it's a startup or just a small business or your side project to flourish, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking of John Christopher, who's you probably saw some of that and posted out of Slack and his announcement. It got a bit of attention because it's an unusual approach with organized WP. Yeah, he goes way back with, and he's very intentional about it. I think that's actually a project that has a previous plugin behind it. It goes back 10 years or so. So even when he was doing Search WP. And from what I was reading and hearing, a large part of it sounds like you, where part of the thinking is not just a technical or revenue-oriented planning, but how is this something that fits into my life, where my relationship with my customers is meaningful? And that kind of connects with what I'm hearing from you about, like, yeah, you don't want the stress of overpromising and delivering because your own scale has gotten out. Like that's what I've found most painful and personally a barrier in freelancing. Yeah, if you're doing you it doesn't it wasn't it's not something that equality can maintain at scale. And to the extent you put relationships and maybe in your own community into your clients, that really matters. Like you feel like you're letting people down if you can't. So, and I think they're at a point of scale no one cares anymore, right? They don't care, a big conglomerate, like you're not
It becomes a
successful.
number, the
Yeah.
customer service. This is always what I think about. And I'm sure I've shared this once or twice before where I don't want to interact with customers or people like this. I have my friends and I have my personal world where I want to interact with humans. But on the internet, there's too many sketchy people out there. So to me, one big goal was to keep customer service as minimal and what's the opposite of hostile? Nourishing.
Peaceful.
As nourishing as possible to me, being an open source maintainer for, I don't know, 18 years, maybe. Started with like have a mint back in the day, if anybody remembers that.
Yeah, I do.
Only the old people and Sean Inman, Imam, I don't know what his name is, but this analytics software. Being an open source maintainer for so long, I saw the progression. Maybe I'm so jaded now. Maybe the internet has changed and there's more people now. I'm not sure. But back in the day, it was really pleasant to interact with users of my software that I wanted to write and publish for free. And over the years, I just saw that it's more, not more and more, but the percentage of shitty and hostile interactions. I don't know if I can curse on this podcast here. I think just the F word, probably. Maybe I'll refrain from using. It's more unpleasant to me. And with Object Cache Pro, I wanted to have the same thing where I make a software, people pay me for the service every month to use the best of the best, but they don't talk to me. That was my goal. And instead of keeping them away and not responding to customer service requests, I wanted to create software that is so stupid reliable that they don't have to talk to me. And bring back everything I learned from my many years in the Laravel community, bring this back, test-driven development, reliability as a the number one core value of the software, not performance, not all the fancy bells and whistles and cool designs. No, reliability. Just you install it and you don't have to think about it because it just works. If there's an error, it recovers by itself. That was the intention because I don't want to do customer service as my life. And again, I could scale and hire people, but I don't, why have a whole customer service team? What if the software just works? And right now, it's slowly changing over the last, let's say, I think it's almost 3 years now, in September, in November, 2.5 years, let's say. The majority of my days is I work, I do whatever I want, I can drive my businesses forward, whether this is sales and marketing or whether it's software. And I do have been doing 5 minutes of customer service so far, and now it's slowly getting to like 10 minutes a day, which is still delightful to me, but it's 10 minutes now and I'm not stoked about it. So I'm working on making all these questions that over and over ask in the customer service chat or emails, I integrate into the software. So I want to bring it down to 5 minutes by just making it more intuitive, more reliable, and more self-explanatory, explanatory, kind of like the Apple iPhone where it just works. For the most part.
Some I can hear people. I can read minds of like, you're talking on the one hand of like putting yourself out of business almost, but on the other hand, I can also imagine a lot of WordPress plugin developers and far beyond that. 10 minutes a day, one guy on support. That's like paradise. Because the for years and years and ongoing, the probably the single most common complaint, and it's more than a complaint, it's a quality of life issue when you listen to developers and product owners with a support desk. And it's where the highest frustrations are and where they end up spending its money, time, and your mind
And to
somewhat.
me, it's my personally for Till, this thing here, it's my happiness, my contentment and how I feel about life. Doing a lot of customer service is not part of that.
Right. Yeah, to be honest, both sides of that transaction don't really want to be in there. It's not where we want to spend our time.
Yeah, and
I
if it's
mean,
5 minutes a day, I can put in the energy, I can be quite nice and helpful. But if it would be 20, 30, if it's an hour, and like this is what I gotta do, if I wake up and have a coffee and then customer service, it's just, I don't wanna do it. I would probably sell the business to DigitalOcean and move on. It's that's not the life that I wanna live.
right. What allowed you to know that about yourself earlier on? So that just seems unusual. What takes you down that path of knowing your limitations and knowing what you want when it's the opposite of what everything else says, like go and grow. This is a form of growth, but it's not the stereotype, the one we always think about of bigger, more people, more tickets that come with our support tickets. What's
I think the answer is ayahuasca, psychedelic substances, what do you call them? Plant medicines, if you want to say. I think that's the answer. It could also be just because I'm neuroatypical, I have to do things my way. Maybe that's it. But I definitely, as a human, I value introspection and self-inquiry. It's top of my list of things that I like to do in life and with myself and what drives me and what I find interesting in myself and understanding how do I work, how does Till function, and how do other people work, which is a lot more challenging I find sometimes because they're so
Right.
it can be so irrational. And self-inquiry and psychedelics allows me to or has allowed me to just be more self-aware than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and just increase that if that's a quantifiable number, which I don't, maybe it isn't. Get to know myself more of like what makes me happy, what helps me be content, or what nourishes me, what drains me, and being self-aware, I'm a huge fan of that self-inquiry.
Yeah, there's no, if you don't leave any room for it, it's gone, and that time is gone. I feel you on that. Yeah, the last 5 years have probably for almost everyone have been possibly the toughest in our lives. I think that's probably not that unique, and a big part of it for me is along with remote relationships and remote work and social isolation happening at the same time. That there's it's been a complicated situation to keep enough of your own head space and relationships and things like that that are closer to home that traditionally we find our identity and grounding and meaning in. Yeah, it's just gotten so much harder. And it sounds like you've kind of gone the opposite direction pretty successfully with that. Ironically, by as other people scale up and develop all these inefficiencies, here's this guy with this product that solves that problem to some extent, remaining this kind of calm, center of the wheel. It's like I'm imagining the non everything else spinning around, and you're trying to do as few as little movement within the center of that as possible. Seems like a smart, desirable way to work to me.
It was to me. Yeah.
Have you changed? Has anything changed in your practices and models, or is this pretty confirmed at this point? This is how you want to do it. It sounds like you're entertaining some idea of business partners. As long as you have a role that allows you to have the space and activity that you want.
I think it's a good question. I don't know if I have an answer to this. Because it's such a loud voice on the outside, everybody does the same thing. This is how you speak. This is how you behave. There's so much conformity, and we all want to do this as, talking apes. Because it's such a reinforcement. I think it's called something cultural hegemony.
Germany.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
This is my ESL coming out here. Where it's over and over reinforced that it's good to be efficient as a German. I relate to this a lot, but efficiency is important. Work is important. First question is, what do you do? Like, everything is so work-centric that it's sometimes hard to put aside, so I still entertain the thought of like, can I do this my way again? Can I do this in a way that works for me? Can I be efficient, or can I support growth my way? It's hard to just shut it out because it's so dominant in all of, at least the societies that I live in and the circles that I live in, where money and success and what are you doing within? Like, the values are just so reinforced externally that to me, to again find, I'm going to quote Joshua Strebe again here, like, what do I actually want to do with my life? Not that he's the first question you ever asked me that, but what do I want? And forgetting my inner voice sometimes happens, and maybe that those are the moments that I think about growth and investment.
Yeah.
And scaling out. I definitely see, to switch gears here as well, I definitely see being working with hosting companies the last couple of years, maybe the last, yes, last year, more and more, I can make a bigger impact in the WordPress community if I would have proper backing and a better team. And seeing now, working on this particular product for the last close to 3 years, or 3 years probably with the development cycle, I'm really good at product. I'm good at figuring out what people need. In my 5 minutes of customer service, I get enough information. Figuring out what they need, being technical enough to bridge the gap and creating quality products. That's kind of the pride, or that's what I'm proud of, or take pride in. And I, in an ideal world, I'd love to focus on that and not think about receipts and my accounting balances and all these other things. I try to outsource these things, but there's so much more to a business, so much more, including customer service. Just focusing on product would be, I think, a very idyllic state for me to be in. I get to just create and make the world a better place at the same time. Less resource usage, faster load times, less electricity being used, and so on. Less headaches for people. Like, the emotional impact of people worrying about the WordPress websites, that to me is a unquantifiable number that I really like to get higher. Why worry about your software? Like, let's worry about the relationships that we have, or the what we want, maybe ourselves, and like these the things that actually matter. So with software, it's making the lives a bit easier and less annoying. I'd love to do that. Back to your question of like, has anything changed? Just more and more discovering, running all of this myself, and then outsourcing some engineering parts, or the accounting, bookkeeping, obviously. It would be fun to just do product itself. It's not my reality at the moment, but I would entertain it if it's done right. And I've heard this a few times, whether this is the Pagely acquisition or WP Media, the WP Rocket guys. There seems to be companies out there that still have a lot of financial backing, but they're not... I don't know how to say this. They're not cutthroat capitalist machines.
Good. Disadvantage maybe, but worth life, worth living.
Yeah, like the one group, one or one group. Mm-hmm. One.com hosting in Scandinavia. They just seem to, maybe it's a Scandinavian model again, just yeah. More focused on, yeah, we all work, we all take pride in that maybe, or identify with what we do for work, but not at the extreme expense of our personal lives.
Yeah, I think who's going to argue with that and feel good, feel like they really mean it. But yeah, that is it does seem more and more like that's a culture and a spirit and ethos that's been diminished over time mm-hmm. in open source. And yeah, it needs advocates in
it's in doable.
Yeah. So it's good to have voices for that. But there's also some really practical things too. Some of what you were saying, I know you if you want to drive down headaches and inefficiencies and stuff that doesn't work and poor quality products, testing is probably your main answer to that. For practically speaking, what can WordPress do to take a lot of trouble off of individual shoulders and off, you know, off the project, I suppose, too? Is that accurate, that the role of testing and standards are an area that we haven't mm-hmm. Really matured in?
I think so, and I'm still still dislike it, but I do it because I want to push a big release on a Friday afternoon and go camping for the weekend without mm-hmm. having to worry about it. And I've done this a few times now. I try to release on a Friday afternoon and push big releases to, I don't know what it is, like 400,000 sites now. Test-driven development, whether this is test-driven development, meaning first you write your tests and then you write the software, or if you do it after the fact and you spend the extra, 30%, I think it is, on average, the extra time to write tests, you don't have to chase the 100% code coverage where every single line is tested, but at least test the major parts of your software, and whether this is JavaScript browser integration testing, and when you click this button, something happens and it works, or this is just following the paths in PHP of like what happens when you flush the cache by CLI? Does it actually empty your Redis database? Just having sanity checks in place. It's a very technical topic, testing in general. There's, what's his name? Chris Hartius, the grumpy programmer, who is just, his whole life seems to be an advocate for testing in many, many different communities, not exclusive to PHP. Just test your software. And to me, that allows me to be confident in what I'm, to trust my own software, because I'm very flawed and make mistakes all the time, but my tests will tell me when I do. And just have peace of mind over the weekend where I don't have to stress out about pushing out a release that might break other people's sites. And this has been a very frequent occurrence in WordPress. Anybody from, I'm not going to say any names, but I'm sure we all read the stories where there's a release and suddenly, I don't know, millions of websites are slower because there's no test. So there's no quality QA. What's it called? Quality assurance? Quality
QA.
QA, yeah. There's no teams. And whether this is manual or I think it should be automated, because why spend human hours trying to do this? Just take the time to write these test suites. It helps me. And then also to this extent of like customers have, I think, more trust in the software when there's releases and there's no, oh, bug fixes, bug fixes, bug fixes. And many small. You can see the evolution of my free plugin, the Redis Object Cache. Sometimes when I do a big release, they do 6 releases in 24 hours because it's so many people using it and something breaks for someone. And this is what I wanted to do different with Object Cache Pro. It's written from the ground up and it's test driven. Like there is no, it's not quite 100% code coverage at this point, but it's a very, it's thoroughly tested. Yeah.
Right. And what's the barrier to that becoming more of the norm in WordPress? Are you involved in the core test team at all? I know you do perform the new performance team.
No, I'm not. I see that there is a lot of tests in WordPress core. Like it's well tested. I think the plugin market itself. Themes are probably a pain to test. The plugin industry, plugin sphere is testing is not a common thing. I don't see it very much. No, few people seem to even talk about it. I don't want to be an advocate for it. I have other things to do. Maybe I should do a presentation at some point at a conference just to like sow the seeds. What do you call it? Put the seeds in the ground.
Yeah.
It's really good. I don't know if there's anything in the way except for awareness and then actually taking the time to do it. It's time consuming. It's expensive. If it's 30% of the time that you write code, that if it's an hour, I don't know what 30% is, 20 minutes, 18 minutes, something like that. A third, let's say, of that time coding, you would then spend writing tests. It's not fun. You can make it kind of fun with like a decent test suite and nice tooling, but it's still, you're doing this. However, for me now down the road, seeing that I have 3 years of software in one place, I don't want to test all these pieces that are written a year ago. They work, they can just stay as they are. And if they break, I will know down the road and I can actually move a bit faster now in the future of like, whether this is adding new features or changing how timeouts work. The last release I pushed yesterday was adding connection retries and a few things broke. And I just know I don't have to abuse. I don't have to abuse my customers and like test it on their live production sites. My tests will reveal these issues first, which I think it's the more customer-friendly approach to not let your customers test your software. And I listened to the Accidental Tech podcast the other day where Apple kind of does this at scale. They just throw it out and the developers do the QA for them. I think that was the comment. I can't speak to that, but it reminds me of this, talking about this.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Do you think that WordPress is, you'd say, relative isolation or under participation in the larger PHP world is part of the story too? That if there was more overlap and more relationships into things like Laravel or a million possible directions with PHP and is more directly involved with it, that would help, that would enhance some things like standards around testing and so on. We just kind of are an ecosystem and people do their own thing because their peers are in a different place than say someone working in a PHP framework somewhere else.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of smart developers in WordPress as well that's maybe cross to the other ecosystems over outside of WordPress and they include testing, whether this is Google engineers being hired or whatever it is. There is good tooling out there. I don't think we're too isolated. We're definitely judged and looked down upon, understandably so. Maybe that's just because of the lack of testing. But I don't even know how to solve this. To me, it's a problem. And maybe it would be enforcing tests for plugins with more than, 1,000 users on the repository. Because you can measure objectively, you can quantify the code coverage, whether let's say it's 80%, whatever is a reasonable amount, 50%. I don't know if you can have the main path. I don't know the details of this, but you could also enforce this. It's just like, hey, you've got now 12 months to test your software. And then it gets a little check mark. Hey, this plugin has a test suite. I would need to build one for my free plugin now. But it might be a good idea and to include in that. There's been a bit of talk in the WordPress core performance core, I don't know, they just changed the name, the performance team, to have whether this is badges that when you have a clean WordPress install, you install the plugin, how do the MySQL queries, like what's the impact of this plugin, how is performance being handled, and I don't know how much you can automate these tests, but maybe we need more reviewers, that there is more high quality code on the WordPress.org, at least for the ones that have, 100,000, a million users, that you know that these are actually properly tested for performance degradations or regressions. So many recessions going on at the moment. For performance regressions or just for testing, I think that would be a decent approach. I don't know if this is feasible. Someone, what's her name? Ibna Epstein? Something half elf is on a Twitter profile. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
She, I think, runs the plugin team, and I don't know what is possible. And it's a big burden again on that we push on open source developers, and maybe there needs to be fun. I don't know how to solve this problem, but testing would definitely improve the overall trust in WordPress that you can upgrade a plugin without things going slow or breaking. I think it would be a good approach. And I would say it's certainly part of the secret sauce for Object Cache Pro and its success. It's just, you can trust that it's reliable. And business is first.
Well, as an alternative to putting it on .org, there's always the possibility. I've wondered about this, like, I'm not aware of this happening, but in a maturing market and ecosystem that I think we do have, there's the possibility of industry cooperation and self-regulation to some extent, where those larger plugin companies could on their own see that value and decide on a standard amongst themselves, some common tooling or practice or something like that, and do their part to kind of police that end of the market. Or set an example. That sounds like very strong policing, but I mean, pleasing bugs.
We already have guidelines for the plugins, what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
It's very clear and they all make sense. Maybe adding performance and test coverage to that could be at least a discussion. I'm sure it has been. I will talk to Felix at WordCamp US about this on the contributor day. I'll ping him.
Good. That's definitely a progressive direction to move in. Where do you see opportunities and, for you and just WordPress in general, where are the opportunities and I guess the risks and threats? People often seem to have more of those in mind, but those two relative quantities, is there more, which is more on your mind and what are you seeing down the road?
With everybody, I think more about the risks and threat than the opportunities.
The monkey brain.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have an answer to this. I sometimes am a bit concerned of like how long is WordPress around, but it's not slowing. Maybe this is just like you said, the talking ape brain. It's not slowing down. There's acquisitions everywhere. I don't see it dying out for whatever reason. All the replacements, I don't think I have an answer to that question. Sorry.
That's fine. It's a big, big wide open one. I think a lot of things you've touched on, I wish we hear more, and I hope resonates with a lot of people. We don't often connect the human social embeddedness of our lives with the work we're doing, or not openly, or we don't share that. And you know, why else are you doing what you do? Some people are pretty open about it, but I would like to hope that there's opportunity in the space for people who want to work that way, who want to work like you do, and that this is a good model. That however big everything else may get, there's those cracks, like you said, between mm-hmm. the sidewalk, where there's room for a relatively low stress, good work. And I'm glad you found that.
If there's any more questions, if you like listening to this, if you enjoyed this conversation, the stories, if there's anything the listeners want to hear more about or any questions, I'm always happy. You can hit me up on Slack, on Postdata Slack, of course, WordPress Slack, email, you know, or send questions to Dan, and we can do, if there's demand for it, episode 2 on this.